Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Why don't we give the Lord a real good hand praise? Hallelujah. Everyone said, praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. I'd like to say a few things before we get started here. First of all, I want to give honor to our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I feel His presence here today in every service, every time we've gathered here. The presence of the Lord has been so beautiful, so rich, and we're thankful for that, and we want to give the Lord honor. And then, of course, Brother Garza, we love and appreciate the Garzas. As a matter of fact, he mentioned that he was with us. I did something that no one up to that point had ever been able to do, and that was convince him to fly. And so he flew out to our part of the world, and we were definitely on the receiving end. Blessed our assembly tremendously. And I think of the wording that is used to describe Daniel. When I think of Brother Garza, he has an excellent spirit. He has an excellent spirit, and we certainly love and appreciate him. We have not known Brother Garza a long time, maybe 4, 5, 6 years, but we certainly appreciate what God is doing through him, and just appreciate his excellent spirit, his love for truth. And I'm honored to be here today. It's always an honor when a man turns his pulpit over to you or allows you to preach in his pulpit to his congregation, but then it is a greater honor when he asks you to come back. And I appreciate Brother Garza's confidence in us, and we want to obey the Lord. And then we want to give honor today to the visiting ministry that's here, these brethren that have been preaching in these services. I have been tremendously blessed by what I have already heard, and I hope that somehow today that what we would say would fit in and be a blessing here along with all these other ministers that have already stepped behind this pulpit. And I want to say thank you to these brethren. Brother Hyler, I missed him on Wednesday night. Our plane was delayed. Our luggage was lost. We didn't leave the airport with our luggage until 7:30. We did make it here in time for Brother Phillips, so I regret missing Brother Hyler, but Brother Phillips and was the first one that we heard. And what a tremendous message we heard from the Lord. And everyone since, Brother Moody, Brother Johns, last night Brother Pace. I mean, what a tremendous, tremendous job, amen, by Brother Pace. I was greatly blessed, amen. And every message has just been, it just seems like it's struck a chord in my heart. And then our good friend Brother Moody, again last night, just blessed of the Lord. We're a blessed people. We're a privileged people. I appreciate the effort by this local assembly and your pastor and his family to make it so comfortable for all of us that are here visiting. The meals have been great. The accommodation, everything's just so nice, just so right. And we say thank you to you brethren that are here. We just give you honor. Glad to be among good men of God. Like precious faith, what an honor it is. And so here we are. Amen. Friday morning. I looked on the schedule and I noticed that the Friday morning slot at 10:30 was TBA. And I think we'll probably have a new conception of what TBA means from here on out. The big annoyance. So hopefully that's not the case. But I do want to obey God. The Lord began to deal with me a number of weeks ago. I did not realize that I would be preaching this message here, but God began to burn something into my soul, and I feel very strongly that God has given me this message for this service here today, and I hope that I can be a help, a blessing to somebody that is on their journey, amen, on their effort or in their effort to be the best that they can be for the Lord. Amen. I know I have been helped already. I know I've been blessed. And I trust that someone today can be blessed by what we would say here. And if not, Brother Johns will be right behind me to straighten it all out and fix everything and so forth. I'm going to ask you to stand if you would, please. I want to draw your attention here this morning to Zechariah. Chapter number 4. And chapter number 4. I want to begin reading at verse number 1. This morning, I want to read a few verses, then we'll skip down and pick up some more farther in the chapter. Amen. Zechariah 4 and 1. The Bible says, "And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is awakened out of his sleep, and said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick, all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And skipping down to verse number 11, the Bible reads, Then answered I and said unto him, What are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again and said unto him, What be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then said he, These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Amen. These be the anointed ones. These are the anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. With the help of the Lord this morning, I want to talk for just a little while from the subject, the source of anointing. Amen. The source of anointing. I'm going to ask Elder Garza, if he would please, to lead us in prayer and ask God's blessing on the remainder of this service here this morning. Jesus. Oh, God. God, in Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. And everybody said, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. If you're glad to be in church, you may be seated. Amen. I've asked Brother Don Heiler, version 3.0, to come and help me here this morning. If he would make his way to the pulpit, I'd like for him. I may need a little help reading. I've had a little problem with my sinuses, my voice, and so forth, and I may need to have him help bail me out here in just a few minutes. Amen. Help me reading. Amen. I want to first say this morning, before I go too far into this, that a lot of what I'm going to be saying will be directed to ministry, but really it applies to every single one of us. I don't believe that the anointing that we read about here is just for ministry. I believe that when we go door knocking and we testify, we witness, when the musicians play or the singers sing, I believe that it is imperative that the anointing of God is upon us or flowing through us. And of course, I'm getting a little ahead of myself here. It's through the Holy Ghost. It's through God's Spirit moving in us and through us that the anointing is evident. And so I'm going to say a lot of things probably this morning that will apply to ministry, and I do apologize for the personal references that I will be making here in just a little while, but I know more about my situation than anybody else here, so I want to help somebody. I want us to look here into the Word of the Lord this morning and just take a look at what brings the anointing upon us, whether we be laity or whether we be ministry. Amen. Chapter 1 and verse 20 of Revelation, we know very well. I believe Brother Heiler, I was told, read from Revelation, took his text from Revelation. And when John heard the voice, he turned to look, and there were the seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of those candlesticks was the Lord. And I believe that is very indicative of the necessity. And I think we all understand this that are here today, that we've got to have Jesus in the middle of church. He's got to be in the middle of everything that we do. It's already been referenced in this meeting how too many times and too many places people try to just go through the motions and do it their way. It's more than just, Brother Pace mentioned it last night again, it's more than just the beat of the drum and the organ and the keyboard and the music and the hype trying to work something up. And I do believe also that there is a counterfeit spirit that will come in when the real anointing is no longer flowing. Amen. The enemy has a counterfeit that he will attempt to substitute, amen, for the real. And there, we are seeing that in a lot of places. People are just simply going through the motions, doing their own thing, trying to make it look like church, trying to make it feel like church. And if we're not careful, if there is no discernment of spirits, if there is no sensitivity to the Holy Ghost, and if there is no recognition of the real, then if we're not careful, even the very elect, and Jesus said, may be deceived in these last days. That's why it's important that we touch Him every day. That's why it is important that we pray every single day of our lives. Amen. And let that Holy Ghost, amen, flow through our vessels. Amen. Jesus, again, has got to be in the middle of everything that we do. We cannot afford to try to have church without Him, without His presence right in the middle of church. Amen. And then just let me throw this in for good measure. He will not dwell in an unclean tabernacle. I said He will not dwell, amen, in an unclean setting. Amen. He is holy, and He expects us to be holy. Be holy, amen, for I am holy, saith the Lord. Amen. He will not dwell in an unclean tabernacle. Amen. I do believe people lose the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm sorry if that crosses your theology, but God is not going to dwell in an unclean tabernacle. I believe when sin remains, when sin continues to be unrepented of, amen, the Spirit of the Lord will withdraw. Amen. I don't have time to go into all of it, but you look at the Song of Solomon. I believe it's the third chapter. Amen. When the type of the Lord knocked on the door, and because of it was too imposing to get up, already in bed and already with my shoes off. Amen. It wasn't very long, but that the Lord had withdrew Himself. The type there of the Lord had withdrew Himself. Amen. I'm just going to tell you, amen, you won't go very long resisting the Spirit of the Lord. You won't go very long with having not repented of some wrongdoing in your life, but what He will withdraw from you. Amen. He will not dwell in an unclean tabernacle. I said He will not dwell in an unclean tabernacle. Now let me move on here. Our text today, amen, speaks of light and deity. Amen. Light and deity. Amen. I want you to notice, amen, we read here about the two olive trees. Amen. And they were producing oil for the candlesticks. What is this? The question was asked. And the angel said, "The word of the Lord." Amen. Then he said, "Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord." So we see here, amen, it is the spirit of the Lord and the truth of God's word. This is what is being represented here this morning. Amen. I want to talk just a few moments here before we go any farther about the word of God. Amen. I believe I'm preaching to people, amen, today, and certainly the ministry here, amen, that is among us, amen. We love the Word of God. We love the preaching of the Word of God. I'm sure that we have all been around folk that did not love the Word of God. They did not love the preaching. Elder Pace talked about, amen, our response to truth. And we've all experienced it to one degree or another. When the truth of God's Word, amen, that sharp two-edged sword of the Spirit, it begins to divide some things out of our lives. Amen. There are those that do not want it and they will resist it. But we are sitting here today in heavenly places because we made a place in our hearts and in our lives for the Word of God, for the preaching of God's Word. Why don't we give the Lord a good hand praise? Oh, hallelujah. 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 I love the Word of God. When I came into this truth, I was not raised in the truth. I was raised in a Catholic home. Amen. God saw fit to send a backslider my way. And I lived 30 miles away from our home church. And God saw fit to send a black backslider my way and invited me to church. I went to church the first time with a carload of backsliders that were doing drugs. Amen. We went into the church. I didn't know anything. First time I'd ever been in any other service other than a Catholic service. And needless to say, my mind was totally, amen, blown away. Wasn't much of an explosion, but it was an explosion. I didn't understand anything what went on. My first thought was, I've got to get out of this place. Amen. But oh, I don't have time to tell the whole story, but I'm going to tell you what. My second visit, God baptized me with the Holy Ghost. I went to an old-fashioned altar, repented of my sins, and God filled me with the Holy Ghost. I was buried in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Wasn't long after that, amen, just a few days later, the young man that drove the car, amen, that I rode into church that first time, he was a backslider. I didn't understand what backsliders were. I thought they all went to the church. I didn't know what was what. Amen. I just knew that what God did for me was real. It took the desire for drugs out of my life. It took the desire, amen, for cigarettes and alcohol and the things of the world out of my life. I didn't understand all of the terminology. Amen. I barely knew Acts 2:38 at that point. But he began to talk to me about the standards of the church. He was no doubt convicted that I had come right in and prayed through and got a real experience. And here he was backslid. He was trying to discourage me from going back to church. If you go there, you can't do this, you can't wear that, and so on and so forth. Amen. I went to the pastor, amen, and I told him, you know, I was just bothered that I was doing something that was not acceptable. Amen. I wasn't trying to look for a way, amen, to do more of the things that I was doing. All I knew is I wanted to keep what I had. Amen. And so the pastor began to talk to me. Of course, he was very angered at the man, amen, that told me all of these things, but I told him that day, amen, and I meant it, and I still mean it today. Amen to any one of you that would preach to me. Amen. Pastor, you just preach it. Amen. You can't preach it too hard for me. Amen. Just tell me the truth. Amen. I want to know what it takes to be saved. I know one thing. I don't want to go back where I came from. Whatever it takes to stay right here in the church, then God, that's what I want to do. Oh, hallelujah. The word to the young preachers. You can be seated. Those of you young men that are aspiring to the ministry. Amen. I'm just going to tell you the old-fashioned word of God. Amen. This glorious Acts 2:38 message. It still works in 2006. Amen. Just preach the word. Preach the word. The Apostle Peter writes in 1 Peter 1:23. being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. The word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Aren't you thankful today for the word of God? Amen. Jesus said in John 6:63, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Amen. We see here in the words of Jesus, the connection between the Word and the Spirit. Amen. I'm going to tell you what. There's a lot of good people. I said good people. Amen. By Brother Moody's definition, according to the world standard, there's a lot of folk, amen, that are probably in the best they know how, doing the best they can. Doesn't make them saved. Amen. But they can quote the Bible frontwards and backwards. Amen. But until you mix it with the Spirit of God, until you mix it with the Holy Ghost, they can get up behind a pulpit or behind a radio mic, amen, and put a good thought together. But if there's no anointing, amen, the yoke will not be destroyed. Hallelujah. You cannot have one without the other. And it be effective as God intends for it to be. And everybody say, praise the Lord. Amen. Let me move on. I want to try to hasten here this morning. Amen. The gold in verse number 11, the text speaks of the golden candlestick and the golden oil. Amen. And the light, the representation here, the light. Amen. The illumination that is produced from this candlestick. Amen. John 1:7, the apostle writes, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light. Amen. There are those that are going about trying to do it their own way. Somebody's already mentioned they are denying the power of God. Amen. They are ever learning, but they are not able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know why? Amen. Because the Holy Ghost has not, amen, been poured out upon them. Amen. They have not experienced the illuminating power of the presence of God. Amen. There will be those that will, amen, do their very best to try to fake it. And if you're not careful, amen, if you're not sensitive, amen, you can swallow it hook, line, and sinker. But Jesus is the light. Amen. Jesus is the light. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, amen, cleanseth us from all sin. Amen. He is the light. Amen. Everybody say it with me. Jesus is the light. Jesus is the light. But then He makes the statement, amen, to those that followed Him. Ye are the light of the world. Amen. How can this be? Amen. If that Spirit, amen, that raised Him from the dead dwell in us, it will quicken or change our mortal bodies. Amen. We go to the restaurant or the mall or the store or wherever. Amen. People see something different about us. I believe a lot of times it's more than just the dress. Amen. I believe they see the glow of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. The Spirit of God that's in our life. Amen. It causes that what we used to term the Holy Ghost glow. Well, everybody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. If I can borrow a line from Elder Westberg. Amen. I've heard him say it a few times. Those of you that heard him may remember. He said, I've got two handkerchiefs. This one's for sweat. This one's for snot. Y'all pray that I don't get them mixed up. That's not original with me. Amen. But I, just here wiping my nose, I thought of it. I thought of that. Praise God. We are the light. Amen. We are the salt of the earth. Amen. I'm going to tell you what, if the life that we live, first of all, does not illuminate a pathway for others to find Jesus. If the life that we live does not cause others that are around us to be thirsty, then we better check the source of anointing. We better check the supply cabinet, if you will. Somebody say praise the Lord. 1 Peter 2:9. Amen. The apostle writes, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a peculiar people. Why? That ye should do what? Show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness, what? Into this marvelous light. I like what Brother Moody repeatedly said last night. It's not about us. It's not about you. It's not about me. But it's about the furtherance of the kingdom of God. The reason he gave us the Holy Ghost. We were a people that were not a people. But he gave us the Holy Ghost that we should show forth his praises. That we would be the light of the world. Well, praise the Lord. John writes, 1 John 1:5, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Hallelujah. You can't have it both ways. There's a lot of folk that try it, but you can't have it both ways. You can't hold on to the world and your sin. Amen. And walk in the light. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. We see it today. We see it today. A lot of people trying it. Amen. You know, they start on a course. They start with maybe something small. They start with something just seemingly insignificant. Amen. But there is a pattern. And there is a road that these things will take you down. There is an ending to the story that many times we do not consider. Amen. Oh, amen. We are tempted when we are drawn away of our own lust. And when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin is finished, it brings forth death. Amen. When it's in the beginning stages, the devil tries to make it look pretty. And he tries to make it look palatable. He tries to make it look so enticing. And many times he does. But he doesn't show you the end result. The end result is death. Amen. So it may seem very innocent. It may seem very small at the beginning, but just remember, it's taking you somewhere. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. 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 You can't have it both ways. You can't have it both ways. Oh, God. Amen. I want to be right before the Lord. We're looking, Brother Garza, we're looking for the right way, not the easy way. There's a lot of easier pathways there's a lot of exit ramps off the highway of holiness. We're not looking for the pathway of least resistance. We are looking for the way that leads to everlasting life. As the candlestick, amen, in the tabernacle, as the candlestick lighted the tabernacle, amen, we are the light of the world. We are the light. Of course, it represents in the tabernacle, it represents the Lord, obviously. But it also lets us know if Jesus said we are the light, amen, then we are, amen, we are the world. If we believe that, and I do believe that, because Jesus said it, we are the light of the world. And if that is truth, and it is, then we are our city's only hope. If we are the light of the world, and so it's the devil's job to get us unfocused on the offer and the finish of our faith. If we are the light of the world and he can somehow divert our attention or cause us to lose focus of the job at hand, then he has succeeded in his task. Amen. I tell our young people at home all the time, amen, yes, God has a plan for you, but the devil has a plan. Amen. The devil has a plan for every single one of us. He had a plan for the Apostle Peter. And the Lord said, I have prayed for you. The devil wanted to sift Peter like we, I'm going to take, the devil wants to sift every single one of us. The devil's got a plan. He's got a plan. He's going to do his best to get us, amen, focused off of what God would have us to do. Amen. I'm going to tell you when the trials of life come and the problems and just everyday life situations happen to us. Amen. If we're not careful, we can get so wrapped up and so concerned about what we are involved in that we lose a grip on the cause. There is a cause. There is a cause. And the purpose of every single one of us today, whether we are laity or ministry, the purpose of every individual here this morning is that we would be the light of the world. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Yes. That's right. Just as the golden oil that is mentioned in our text was the source of light in the candlestick, so is the Holy Ghost, amen, the source of our light. And I'm sure that we all are aware that the oil is typed as the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. I don't want to go into all of that. But let me go back, Brother Heiler. If you would read for me in our text. Let's read 4 and pick it up at 12, if you would, please.
So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, "What are these, my Lord?"
Read.
And I answered again and said unto him, "What be these 2 olive branches, which through the 2 golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves?" And he answered me and said, "Knowest thou not what these be?" And I said, "No, my Lord." Then said he, "These are the 2 anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth."
Amen. Where do these 2 olive trees, what does this mean? Where does this have application in our life? First of all, the oil in Leviticus, the Bible says, and thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring thee pure oil, olive beaten for the light to cause the lamp to burn always. I want you just in passing here notice that it is beaten oil. The way that this oil was produced was different from other ways, and it was, but it had to be beaten. It was beaten oil, and so here we see that. The oil that is flowing through these golden pipes. And notice it's also golden oil, which represents the deity of God. The gold pipes and the golden oil represent or speak to us of God's deity. And it's pure oil that flows through these pipes that produces the light. And so we read this, and how do I apply this, amen, to the anointing in my life or in your life? How is this accomplished? Amen. I found, and it's a verse that we all are familiar with, and it is a prophetic, I believe it is a prophetic verse concerning Jesus, and y'all aren't praying for me. I almost messed up real bad. Oh, Jesus, help us. Amen. And in Psalm 45:7, the Bible says here, "Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness." Right. You love righteousness and you hate wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God, hath anointed thee because of your hatred for sin and your love for righteousness, that God has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. I'm preaching about the source of anointing. There are those things that will come to us if we allow them. If we allow them entrance into our lives and hearts, that will stop the flow of the Holy Ghost, that will stop the flow of the anointing oil in our vessels. Amen. 1 Peter 2 and 20. For what glory is it? Hey, read for me if you would, Brother Heiner. Amen. Get it for me. 1 Peter 2 and 20. And we'll read down through verse 23.
For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently?
Read.
But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God.
This is acceptable to God. Amen. Brother Moody preached it last night. There are times that we don't understand why our world is falling apart. Amen. Let me submit this morning. Could it be that God is just letting the process take place so that we can be pure? So that the Holy Ghost, the beating process, if you will, amen, would take place being buffeted. I haven't done anything. We have a sister in our church. Amen. She's a good, faithful saint of God. I'm talking faithful in every area. Pays her tithes. Gives offerings consistently, regularly. Not just to the church, the general offering fund, but also to missionaries. Also to the cause of revival. Faithful. Faithful for many years in our assembly. Amen. Here just recently. Amen. She was diagnosed. She had some kind of a mass on her spine and causing her tremendous pain to the point she could not work. As a matter of fact, there have been a few times she couldn't get out of bed. She could not dress herself. She needs help even now. Amen. And she has been faithful. Faithful, I mean faithful. She worked for a few years. Her husband ran off and left her about 7, 8, 10 years ago and left her. She had to work third shift at Walmart. She'd never worked a job before in her life. And so now she has to work. All she could get was stocking the shelves at Walmart on third shift. She never missed a Saturday morning prayer meeting at 9:30. She never missed a Sunday morning service. I'm talking about that kind of faithfulness. And here she is in the most excruciating pain to the point she cannot dress herself. She cannot do for herself. Her son and daughter-in-law are helping her, and other saints in the church are helping her just to be able to survive. She stood and testified the other night. It touched my heart. She talked about how good God is. She said, I know I've been in a lot of pain. I can't work anymore. I'm depending on people to help me. But I found, amen, a relationship with God that I didn't even know existed. I'm praying like I've never prayed before. I've taken the time that I would be working to study my Bible. I'm going to tell you what, that's the kind of perspective that we all must have. Read on, Brother Hyler, read.
For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us.
Read.
Leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps.
Read.
Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously.
Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. We've got to get to the place where we love righteousness and we hate evil. I heard an elder say years ago, we've got to love the things that God loves and we've got to learn to hate the things that God hates. And if we don't hate sin like God hates sin, we'll never be successful in our walk with God.
Right.
I'm going to tell you, there's times when the buffeting comes. There's going to be times when hardships come. Family problems come. Job problems come. Church problems come, Pastor. Amen. There's times that these problems hit us right in the face. And I've got to admit, I must confess today, amen, there have been times, Brother Garza, that I had to, after through reeling and getting my balance, I thought, what in the world is this about? Where did this come from, God? Amen. But in all of it, amen, I've seen where
half of the church has walked out. Over half of the income of the church walked out the doors. Amen. Am I going to compromise the message? Am I going to let up a little bit? Am I going to back off of it just a tad? No, no, no. Amen. This love for truth and this hatred for sin is emblazoned in my soul. Amen. I'm not going to back up. I'm not going to bow. I've made my mind up. I'm not going to bend and I'm not going to blend. Hallelujah. No matter what comes, no matter what comes, when we're buffeted and it seems without cause, I'm still going to hold on to the things that I know are right. I'm not selling out. I'm not selling out. I'm not selling out. Amen. Brother Heiler, if you would, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I'd like to read beginning at verse number 4. I hope this is all right today. Amen. 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 2 Corinthians 6 and 4.
But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience.
In much patience.
In afflictions.
In what?
In afflictions.
In what?
In afflictions.
In afflictions, or the translation would be pressure. There's not an individual here this morning, unless it be a child that just hasn't lived long enough. Amen. There's not any of us that are not under some kind of pressure. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the hope is the Lord shall deliver them out of all of these problems and afflictions and pressures. There's nothing too hard for our God. If we'll just hold on. Amen. This is what produces. Amen. This is what produces a depth in the spirit.
Oh God.
But we don't like the process. I remember a number of years ago, I was at a minister session. Amen. My pastor was preaching, teaching just the ministers. And in the course of all of it, he stopped and addressed me. Talked about the revival that God wanted to give our church. But he said, Brother Craig, you're going to have to wade through hell to get there. I didn't want to get it that way. None of us do. I didn't want to go that route. Amen. Before that, there was a time that Sister Craig and I had asked him to pray for us. It was our first service, our first anniversary service. Actually, the third year, but it was the first time we had anniversary services in our first little sanctuary we built. And so we had talked to the elder about praying for us. We had never been able to have children. And so we were in our mid-30s at that point, 33, 34 or so. And so we had asked him if he would pray for us sometime in the course of that meeting. So Sister Craig came up for prayer one of the nights, and the elder began to pray for us. But it wasn't about us having children. God began to speak through him, through prophecy, and he began to talk about the trial and the test that we would go through. And it was very sobering. We began to weep and we began to pray. It was a very sobering time for us. It wasn't judgment. It was just God was telling us that there were going to be some very, very dark days and some very low valleys. And I must admit to you, had God not spoken to us and warned us, I would have questioned. Amen. I would have wondered, am I in the will of God here? Amen. But God warned us and God prepared us and then gave us a promise at the conclusion of all of this. And so time rolled on, and sure enough, there were some very, very dark nights. The greatest and deepest hurt that I ever experienced since having the Holy Ghost, I experienced during the process of all of this. Amen. I went through some really, really low valleys. Amen. I love to have fun. You've been around me. You know that I love to tell jokes and have fun. Amen. I like to have a good time as well as anybody, but there wasn't much fun going on during that time. Amen. But I was talking to a brother a while back, and he knew some of what we were going through, and I told him this, Brother Garza. I said, outside of having received the Holy Ghost and being married, this has been the best thing that has ever happened to me. In my walk with God, this has been the best thing that has happened to me. And he looked at me stunned. He said, what are you talking about? How could that be the best thing? I'm going to say, because it taught me how to pray. It taught me, amen, how to dig a little deeper. It taught me how to find, amen, a place in God that I never knew existed. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Are we finished? Let's read on, Brother Hyler.
In afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings.
Read.
By pureness, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost.
By the Holy Ghost. By the Holy Ghost. We've got to have the presence of God.
Yes.
And when we're going through these hard times, these times of affliction, amen, that's when the Holy Ghost needs to flow the deepest. That's when it needs to flow the richest. Oh, we can all shout and have victory on a Sunday night blowout service. But friend, when we're in the darkest valley of our lives, that's when we need God. That's when we need to feel His presence. By pureness, notice, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost. Read.
By love unfeigned.
By love unfeigned.
By the word of truth.
By the word of truth. Here they are connected again. Read.
By the power of God.
Read on.
By the armor of righteousness.
By the armor of, you still gotta have the righteousness of God.
Oh.
You still gotta love what God loves and hate what God hates.
Oh, yes.
Oh, God, read.
By the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. By honor and by dishonor.
That's fine, that's fine. Anointing is directly connected here. We see it again. Amen. It is directly connected to our consistency in the matters of righteousness.
Oh, God.
Well, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I have been privileged here the last couple of weeks. I found some writings of my pastor's father, Elder Harvey Scheer. Some of you, I'm sure, have heard of him. And he wrote several little booklets and some papers and so forth. And I was reading some of the accounts of the revivals and camp meetings that he had overseen in the some of them were actually in the 1915 era, and then some in the 1920, 1930. Most of these papers, though, were written before he passed in the middle 40s. And he was talking about, amen, the problems that he was witnessing among the apostolic movement. And it sounded like somebody, one of us, writing about what we're seeing today. But he constantly used terminology such as arrogant preachers and dirty preachers. And I don't know what altogether, but he used the term jelly bean preachers. Amen. And he talked about different meetings where they were at and how that the move of God was hindered because somebody was lifted up in themselves. Or somebody wasn't clean. Somebody wasn't pure. Amen. He goes on. I don't want to go into all of it, but he was telling specific stories. He wasn't mentioning names, but he was telling specific stories of different individuals that had hidden sin in their lives. I'm going to tell all of us, and I'm sure we are very much aware of it, the only way to cover our sin is by the blood of Jesus Christ. David attempted to cover his sin. Amen. But God had a prophet that came by and put his finger in his face. Amen. David's attempts to cover his sin, amen, was not successful. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, and they behold the good and the evil. Amen. But I have been very stirred at reading some of these papers. I found also a book. Amen. I picked it up several years ago and bought a copy of it when I was evangelizing. And it was written about a man who traveled with Brother Scheer's, my pastor's father. And it told many accounts of the Brush Arbor meetings and the tent campaigns that they were having in those days and how that churches were being started. And the underlying theme of what was being written and the thrust of it all was, we are nothing. And He is everything. Amen. When we get to the place where we feel like it's us and it's not Him. And I know it's been several of the ministers here, preachers have danced around this thought. Amen. But when we think it's our doing, when we think I thought of the potter, Brother Moody mentioned it last night, the clay and the potter. Amen. If you've ever watched a potter work on a wheel, he puts the lump of clay. He's going to make a vase or some kind of vessel such as that. He takes his thumb and puts it all the way down. He pushes it all the way to before he can bring it up into a beautiful vessel. He's got to push it down. And then it spins round and round as he shapes that vessel. And so it is many times in our experience. Amen. It may feel like we're being pushed down. It may feel like we're being beaten down. But I'm telling you, God, amen, we read it just a moment ago. It's acceptable. It's God's approval plan. The elder told me after he made that statement about me having to wade through hell, I went to him and I said, do you see something? Is there? He said, well, he said, I'm going to tell you what it is. He said, there's no preacher worth his salt until God puts him through the mill. And he said, it's just the general getting the rough edges off. I'm telling you, it's not a pleasant process, but it's a needful process. We don't want to go through it, but it's necessary if we're going to be a vessel unto honor. If we're going to be meat for the master's use, it's necessary. It's necessary. Amen. Oh yeah. Family problems come. Are we going to do the right thing? Amen. Situations happen. Amen. Out of our control. Amen. There's another pathway you can go. There's an easier route if you choose. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You all do what you want to do. But for us, we're going to go the way that leads to everlasting right life. Amen. The loss of your job. Amen. We had a brother here, very faithful man, a few years ago. Brother Niels, those of you that have, several of you have been to our church preached for us, and Brother Niels leads our services quite a bit. About 5 or 6 years ago, he lost his job. He had a very good job. He worked in a machine shop, had a very good job, made good money, faithful to God, just a right-hand man in Kettering, and just a good, solid saint, prayerful man, so on and so forth. He lost his job. After having been in this company like 18, 20 years, lost his job. And the severance package that they gave him, he made more money than he was making if he'd have been working. Amen. And then unemployment kicked in. And, you know, it was like a paid vacation. Amen. Living high on the hog. And then God provided a better job for him. Amen. 5 months, all that severance time and the unemployment, before the unemployment ran out. He's making more money than he was if he'd been working. Amen. And I believe a lot of it is because of the attitude that he had. He wasn't stressed out. He wasn't looking for a job. He was. The tool and die industry in our area kind of shifted, and companies, Delphi, was moving out, and things were tailing off here and there and the other. And God ended up giving him a better job. Amen. I believe he could have looked at it. He could have been like some folk would be. God, I've been faithful to you. I've lived for God all these years. I've never missed service. I've never done. And now here I lose my job. No, he didn't have that kind of attitude. Just said, hey, amen. I thank God that I lost my job in all things. He said, be thankful all things, always for all things. And I thank God. He stood and testified. Thank God I lost my job. Are you lazy bum? He said, because God sees the future. God knows what's down the road. And so he just kept saying, God's got something better. 1 month went by, 2 months went by, no job. 3 months went by, every week, filling out applications, sending in resumes. 4 months go by, nothing. 5 months, and then finally, he gets a call. Amen. And God gives him a better job. Amen. Working first shift, better money, better benefits, on and on and on and on and on. But sometimes these things happen to us, and we begin to question God. That's the beautiful thing about Job and all of his tests and trial. He never charged God foolishly. Amen. He never sinned with his lips. Everybody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. The Bible, and I just had Brother Hyler read. Amen. We are to follow in his steps. Amen. We see Isaiah's insight says that he is a man of sorrows. Amen. Matthew 28 and 26 and 36. Amen. The Bible says here, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. Amen. Gethsemane literally means, amen, olive press. Amen. Olive press. 1 Peter 2 and 21 says, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. I'm going to tell us all, we've got to have a Gethsemane experience. We've got to go by way of Gethsemane. Amen. If it does mean, and I'm getting just a bit ahead of myself. Amen. Even if we are pressed out of measure, we've got to go by way of Gethsemane. The reason that Jesus didn't answer his accusers the next day is but because he surrendered the will of flesh at Gethsemane. He died to the will of the flesh when he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Amen. 2 Corinthians 1, the Bible says, verse number 5, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall you be also of the consolation. Amen. They go hand in hand. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, in so much that we despaired even of life. Pressed out of measure. Amen. Jesus at Gethsemane, the Bible says, his sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. The agony of that prayer meeting, amen, is paramount in that it is a directive for you and I. In our experience with God, I've already stated, let me reiterate, we've got to go by Gethsemane. The flesh, the will of the flesh has got to die. We've got to submit ourselves to the process of the oil being produced or the anointing being produced in our lives. The Lord speaks in Isaiah chapter 48 and 10. Brother Hyler, if you'll get that for me, please. Amen. Isaiah 53 and 10, the Bible says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased the Lord to bruise him, not in a sadistic way. Amen. And God is working in our lives. We've read several scriptures here, the afflictions that come. Amen. Paul said, amen, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. God is doing a work. Amen. This light affliction, he says in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, is but for a moment, and it worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight in glory. God is trying to produce something in our lives, and we've got to submit to the process. If the end result is going to be the anointing, if we're going to be the light of the world, then we've got to submit to the process. Read for me, Brother Hyler.
Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee.
I've refined you, but not like I refine, not like silver's refined. Read.
I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction.
This is my plan. It's the furnace of affliction. God, that's not the way I kind of envisioned it. I thought I was going to go to Kettering and have massive revival. You know, this is when we, Sister Craig and I went there, We knocked 6,000 doors before we got our first convert. Our first service, we thought we were going to have 25 people. We had one visitor. He was the janitor of the building that we were renting. He had to be there. So it wasn't what, we just knew that by 1 year we would have 100 in service. Well, I had to learn the lesson the hard way. It wasn't, Elder Morton, that we weren't teaching Bible studies. It wasn't that we weren't knocking doors. It wasn't that we weren't praying. It wasn't that we weren't doing all the right things, or at least the things that we knew to do. Amen. But God had a different way of doing it.
Oh, God.
Amen. It was the furnace of affliction.
Oh,
about the time you think it's too hot to handle, He cranks it up a little more. It's not that God doesn't love us, but God is trying to produce something in us that can only come by this means. Amen. Did we read all of that? Finish reading, Elder Hyler. You finished that verse. Okay, thank you. Amen. David prayed in the 51st Psalm, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." We cannot afford, as the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth, we cannot afford to go through one service without the anointing or the holy unction of God. I've never learned how to preach. You can tell that here today. I've never learned how to do it. As Brother Phillips preached the other night, I'm dependent upon Him. I don't ever want to learn how to do it. I need His help. I pray often, "God, remember my frame. I'm but the dust of the earth. I'm flesh and blood, and without You, I can do nothing." Amen. Amen. After Brother Scherer prayed for Sister Craig and I, the Lord spoke to us. Several things started happening. Problems. The deepest hurt that I have ever experienced. I won't go into the details of it. Tremendous hurt and pain. I don't know how many nights my wife and I cried ourselves to sleep, weeping before God. The hurt was so deep. And I went to Brother Scherer after that and asked him, I said, is this it? He said, "Oh no, you haven't even started good." I thought, "Oh God, how can I bear this?" And I'm going to tell you how we can. It's through Him. And that's what He was teaching me. Oh, and there are several other things. I don't want to go into all of it. But I made reference to it a little while back. And I'm going to be closing here in just a moment. Appreciate your attentiveness. But we were struggling. We'd had a good little increase. Probably we built our first building in 1990. A little sanctuary that seated about 90 or so. And God gave us probably at that time around maybe 40 or so in just regular service, 30, 40, something such as that. Looked like it was starting. I can remember Brother White praying in that little back room where my wife's office is now, looking out on the parking lot. That was the only parking lot we had out that window then. And I can remember praying, "God, if we just had five families, if we just had five." I can remember even praying, "If we just had one family. If we just had," and I look out in that parking lot and see maybe two cars, three cars, wondering, "God, I know there's hungry souls. We talk to them. We're teaching Bible. I know they're, God, what is," you know, I can remember weeping and praying and crying. And we started seeing a little growth. And then, many of you pastors have been there. And then, you know, we pray, "God, whatever it takes." But when whatever comes, I said, "When whatever comes," amen. I had in 1 week's time, over half the income of the church walk out. It was rough. And the sad thing is, they didn't just quit the church and backslide. They went across town. Made me out to be some, you know, dictator, and said, "Oh man, you wouldn't believe all the stuff I was supposed to be preaching against." Amen. But it was hurtful, and that was bad, and that was rough. And we were surviving. I hadn't had to work up to this point. God had been good to us, blessed us. The first three men that God gave us, we taught Bible studies to right out of Trinitarian Charismatic churches. And two of them went to the same church, and we taught them Bible study. They're still with us today. Another man went to another church. Those three men, all professional men, started paying tithe and started paying offerings right off the bat. Amen. Some of the churches where we had preached revivals were supporting us. Amen. Back then, we were involved with home missions. They were giving us offerings every month to help support us. And so we were, I didn't have to work until whatever came. And I worked for the man that bought my business when I left to evangelize. And I worked for them for about 8 months. And it just to survive, you understand, just to make ends meet. I went back here a couple of years ago and looked at all of our financial reports. And that year, I don't know how we made it, except but by the help of God. And it was rough. It was bad. We went from around 35 or so, maybe 40, as many as 40. And actually, there were services where we only had maybe 17 or 18. And it just looked like the momentum had died and the sails were falling. The wind was completely out of the sails and didn't know what we were going to do. You talk about pressure. You talk about stress. The banker that helped us with the building loan was very kind. I explained the situation. Our finances were dwindling. He was very gracious to work with us. And I never made a late payment. I always paid my bills. I regret to even have to tell you this story. But I believe in all of it, God was trying to nix my pride. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's me. You're gonna go to the very bottom here, son, and you're gonna watch what I can do. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, we were 4 months behind on our church note. I didn't tell any of our friends, none of my preacher friends. Nobody knew. Sister Craig didn't even know the whole story. I didn't want to have to put that on her. She was dealing with enough, amen, on her own. And I didn't tell anybody till one Sunday. I was talking to my pastor and I just said, well, it doesn't look good. I didn't even go into all the details. And he was about half laughing. And he said, well, God's got you right where he wants you right now. I hung the phone up. I thought, he does not understand. But what I failed to realize, he really did understand. Oh, yes, he did. On Monday, I got a call from the banker. He had been so gracious and kind. I was doing everything I could to get caught up. And there was just no income. You understand? I wasn't even drawing a salary. Even the money that I was making on that job, I was putting it all into the church. Sister Craig took a job with a temporary service. It was all going right in to pay bills. And so on Monday, I get a call from the banker and he says they were already talking foreclosure. And he said, Pastor, he said, we're going to have to have payment by 5 o'clock. You have to be totally caught up by 5 o'clock this afternoon by the end of business. And I said, is there any way we can wait till tomorrow? Give us till one more day. He said, well, let me call downtown. I'll see. So he called. This is the branch manager that I was dealing with. And he called downtown. They said, he called me back, said, yes, it's got to be tomorrow. But if not, we will foreclose. So the next day rolls around. We have service that night. It's a Tuesday. I'm preparing to leave for out of town on Wednesday. And we're going to have church that night instead of the normal Wednesday. Didn't have anybody to fill in and whatever. And so we were going to have Tuesday night service. And I was in the sanctuary. And it was hitting me that we're going to lose it. Everything we've labored for, it's going to be gone. All of what we've worked for here, it's going to be gone. And I begin to weep. I begin to weep as I have never wept in my life before, since I have never wept like this. I began to wail in that sanctuary with everything that was within me. And I'm going to tell you, this is what God wanted all along. And this is what it's all about, at least for me. God was trying to show me, it's not in you. It's in me. And I wailed and wept before God. And the phone rang. It was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And the phone rang. I went back into my little office off the platform in that building. My office was right off the platform such as this. And I went back to get the phone. And when I picked it up and started to say the name of the church, I began to weep. I couldn't even answer the phone. The person on the other end said, "What's wrong?" I got my composure and I said, "Well, looks like we're going to lose our church. Looks like they're going to foreclose on our building. Just tried everything we could do and we're going to lose it." And they said, "Well, that's why I called. Part of the deal was I couldn't tell who this person is." So, and it wasn't my pastor, by the way. He's still probably back there laughing, saying, "God's got him right where he wants him." I said, "I just received an inheritance check. I believe it was an uncle that passed away. And God laid you on my heart. And I want to give you an offering." And would you believe it was $200 over what we needed to get caught up. Oh, hallelujah. And I had to do some finagling. I had to drive across town to one bank, do this, do that, and get, you know, all the stuff that at 2 minutes to 5 o'clock, when the bank closed at 5 o'clock, 2 minutes to 5 o'clock, I walked in with a cashier's check, put it in the account, and the foreclosure process was stopped. What's that all about? God's wanting to beat the junk out of my life so the anointing oil can flow. Well, praise the Lord. Oh, I walked out of that bank. I felt like a millionaire. Amen. You talk about a load lifted off of my shoulders. Amen. I preached that night like I'd probably never preached in a long time, if ever. Amen. We went off down to Texas to a meeting and preaching. Amen. A brother walked up to me after the service, shook my hand with $500. He had never been to that meeting before, nor since. I said, "Oh, no, brother, I can't do it." He said, "You are going to do it. God spoke to me and said you were going to be here and you're going to take this money." When I went back to the home, when I went back to preach, amen, it just started opening up. People started praying through. Amen. The finances started. And in less than in 2 months, I was able to pay that whole amount back. Amen. I'm just going to tell you, it took a dying process. It took a place where I had to go, amen, before God in humility and brokenness. The oil had to be beaten. Amen. Just remain standing. And the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. I don't know altogether what took place that day in that sanctuary. But I know something happened inside of my heart and in my life that I am ever indebted to God for. God, through all of that, produced something in me that nothing else could produce. And I'm telling you this evening or this morning that I am indebted to God for His kindness and His patience and His mercy with me. Can we pray? Let's just talk to God here.